Good morning. How y'all doing? Y'all done shopping? Y'all done baking cookies? Y'all done eating those cookies? I was asked a question the other day, and I want to make an announcement to answer the question for everybody. The question that was asked is, do you visit people? It's a legitimate question, right? And I said, yes, I do, but this is how it's working right now. I visit everyone who wants to be visited. And we'll talk before I visit. And I try not to visit on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which gives me time to know if I got too close to the wrong person over the weekend. Yes, I do visit everyone who wants to be visited. And I know that's a concern, and it's also a concern, do I want him visiting us? And so that's my answer to that question. And so talk with me if that's an interest that you have. We had thought about how we were going to do our party today, and we decided we were going to do it. And I know some of you are here this morning, and you might not have thought about signing up. Just come. Gary and I won't eat until you've all eaten to make sure there's enough to go around, although I might try the cookies before we get there. What I'd like to do as we begin, I'd like to review where we've been. This is the fourth of a four-part series, thinking through Christmas, thinking through Jesus, thinking through Isaiah's prophetic words about Jesus. And allow me just to reread for us this passage that we've been looking at in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we look at these words, we find that Isaiah makes four statements about Jesus. Actually, he identifies four names of Jesus. First, Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is the ultimate counselor. He is the author of extravagant wisdom. He actually speaks into the moments of our lives, guiding us as we think, how should we do life? Jesus is also Mighty God. He is our great God, our warrior God. He is wrapped around us for wholeness and strength and comfort. And he doesn't just defend or protect us, he also enables us, and sometimes he battles for us. Isaiah also says that Jesus is Everlasting Father. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the eternal King. There are no others, no others like him. And Jesus is the perfect King over our lives, not imposing upon our lives like other kings, but sacrificing for us like a father. And these truths, I think they are three aspects of our relationship with Jesus, each adding to the others. Jesus is the source of knowing what to do. Jesus is the power that we might be able to do. And he is the provider of all the needs that we have as we do daily life. Now, I'm not sure if these three truths lead up to the fourth truth or fourth aspect of Jesus, or if it is the context for the fourth. But Isaiah tells us that Jesus also is Prince of Peace. And for this particular title, unlike the other three titles, which were a little complicated, and we really had to sort out to unpack it for you, this one is relatively easy. It's two simple words. One is the Hebrew sar, which captures the idea of captain, chief, commander, prince, or leader. And the second is shalom. Most of us have probably heard that word. It carries the idea of well, or at rest, or peace, or good health. Simple. It's kind of straightforward. And you look at all those definitions that could be for those two words. And this morning, I am simply going to the scholars who live way above my pay grade. And they have almost universally decided that what Isaiah was writing here is Prince of Peace. And this title, Prince of Peace, has to do with the kind of king, the kind of prince that Jesus is. As I was preparing, studying, and reading, I ran across this one sentence, and I want to share it with you. One author wrote, he said, "He is a peaceful king, one who comes in peace and one who establishes peace, not by a brutal squashing of all defiance, but by means of transparent vulnerability, which makes defiance pointless." Jesus came and said, "This is who I am." And even today, people bow to this prince. This king, our Prince of Peace, he reconciles God and man with his own life blood. And in so doing, he enables the reconciliation, true reconciliation, between man and man. And the fruit of that is peace, oneness. And we can even imagine community wholeness. Now today, you and I, we know this king as the baby of the manger. We know him as the miracle worker of the gospel. We know him as the crucified and sealed in the tomb God-man. We also know him as the risen Savior, risen for you and for me. But the prophets of old, they knew him differently. They knew him as a future king. Actually, they knew him as the final king. Like all other kings in the line that he came from, he was an heir of David. But unlike all those other kings, he is eternal. And he will rule forever. Not by violence, not by coercion, but as the text tells us, by justice and righteousness. And how will this happen? How would something this amazing happen? Well, the text tells us that it's totally outside of man's design. Isaiah wrote that this would happen because the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that word zeal captures two words that you and I use regularly, the idea of passion and jealousy, and they're woven together. And so this zeal is a concern that is so intense that the cross was obvious. For God so loved the world, that would be you and me. For God so loved the world that the Father sent his Son, his only Son, to die an ugly cross death that our best interests might be met, that you and I might be made whole. My friends, as much as I keep saying it, Christmas is not about cookies. Christmas is not about cookies. Christmas is not about trees. And Christmas is not about all the things that glitter. Christmas simply paves the way to a cross and a tomb that swing wide the gates of heaven for those who believe to enter in. My friends, this morning I ask you, is this Prince of Peace the one who is leading your life? Is this Prince of Peace the one that you turn to when you're trying to figure out how to do daily life? Is this Prince of Peace your Jesus, your Savior? This Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, you and I, without Jesus in our life, we are adrift without wisdom to know how to do life. And we are defeated from the get-go without his strength, and we are lost without his grace and love. But Prince of Peace, he meets our needs in this world. He meets our needs for a safe space, and he meets our needs for the rest of life and for eternal life. And there is, my friends, a real need for the kind of peace that Jesus offers. I did some research this past week. I checked out some headlines, I read some articles in newspapers and online, and I decided that we need somebody just like Jesus in our daily lives. And I'm going to break up the bad news here for you in the three pieces. First, world news. If you read the news, if you follow what's going on around the globe, you'll recognize that there are wars and rumors of wars going on. Think about the Middle East, think about North Africa, and we have various conflicts going right now. Think about the Russian and Eurasian tension. We're anticipating something could happen at any time. In all of these wars, all of this conflict, all of this political not getting along with each other, what is the word I'm looking for? The political coercion that's going on, it is filtering down to the people. We're finding record numbers of children dying of malnutrition because the food is not able to get to them and it's available. And displacement and wandering refugees are flooding borders, being repulsed. And there are increasing incidences of victimization, childhood labor, rampant misuse of children in child and women and sex industry. It's horrific. So we look at the world news, it is not unto peace. I came a little closer to home for U.S. news, and what I found is that nationwide, the incidence of street violence is up record levels. There are continuing incidences of social unrest, social conflict, person against person. There are reports, increased reports, more often of person-on-person violence. Racial, gender, and other inequalities are surfacing, often with violence. And I came more local. Even in my little community of Bali, petty crime, vandalism on the rise, increased reports of domestic violence. My friends, we do not live in a world that's striving for peace or that's even realizing it on any grand scale. Conflict is the norm. Instead of being for others, we find that we are too often against others. And it is this against others that's causing the conflict. And as the conflict swells, it expands and overlaps into other people's lives, and it makes headlines. And I went to the experts, and they tell us that there are a few things that actually feed conflict. One, an inability to process the stresses of daily life. When I can't do life, I take it out on those around me. Misdirected expectations that others should meet my needs. When we can't find an easy way to meet our needs, we blame or even attack others as the cause of our discontent. And then old-fashioned selfishness that simply disregards other people. You see that in the stores as you're waiting in line and watching people push and shove. You find that on the roads as people race, causing accidents, just to be one more car ahead because it's all about me. But Prince of Peace, God among us, He attends to each of these causes of conflict when He comes into our lives. And without a right relationship with God, we are like ships adrift in the sea, slamming against the rocks that will destroy us. But Prince of Peace sets a true north for us. I believe that is north. He sets a true north for us. He invites us to follow His lead toward the light, toward true life. And in showing us His cross scars, He embraces us by inviting us to embrace Him and to live the life that He makes possible. Now, reconciliation with God by faith in Jesus, Savior, helps reorient our soul. It gives us a new direction for our daily life. And catch this, He replaces me as I surrender to Him. And we begins to nudge me aside as I learn to live with others. Catch that. He replaces me as I surrender to Him. And we begins to nudge me aside as I relearn how to live with others. In Jesus Christ, I shrivels and we blossoms. This enlivening of our damaged souls by Jesus sets us on a path, gives us an ability to take I out of the equation so that we can be the fundamental way we do our daily lives. But there is so much more. Jesus doesn't just fix us up one at a time. Jesus is busy creating a people, and He's been doing that since the Garden of Eden. He is populating a kingdom that He gets to enjoy and that gets to enjoy Him. And this kingdom, as Isaiah noted, would be a just and righteous kingdom. a peaceable kingdom. Oh, it's not here yet, but it's coming, and we're part of it, and we're leading into it. Our individual salvation, born again, one at a time, is just the beginning of peace. And each of us also needs to live peace and to promote peace through our relationships. Confession of my sinfulness, you confessing your sinfulness and trusting Christ launches us on this new life of being at peace with God. And when we live this peace with God, we come to understand a peace with ourselves. And as we realize and recognize and enjoy this peace more, it makes sense that we would want to invite others to know that peace, to embrace, to see Jesus as their own Savior. We spread the word. And Jesus himself blessed this movement, this spread of the kingdom news. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Out of our relationship with God, we all want others to know the same. Others need to know the Jesus that we know, and they need to know him in the way that we know him. And it is this desire, helping others know about Jesus, that for some of us, perhaps for many of us, it opens up a Pandora's box of problems. You see, there are a lot of us who are living our daily lives in broken relationships. We have offended others. It is hard to be peaceable. It is hard to spread peace when we ourselves are not enjoying that peace in our relationships. And so we, like Jesus, need to become peacemakers. We need to make things right with those that we are at odds with. Family members, co-workers, neighbors, classmates, former friends. We have become part of broken relationships. We perhaps have even caused those broken relationships. And so we need to own the peace that Jesus has made possible through his work on the cross and the empty tomb. We need to stop being the ones that are against other people. We need to be the ones that, instead of wounding, are looking to bring healing. Instead of offending, we're looking to defend. We need to stop avoiding those who we have offended or wounded. We need to literally put on Jesus' peace and to do the things that lead to peace. Things like confession. "I am sorry, brother. I have hurt you. I have wounded you. I apologize." We need to do things like forgiveness. We need to forgive others. "Yes, I forgive you. I won't think about this again." We need to have those long conversations, not racing by, "Hi, how are you?" We need to have those eyeball-to-eyeball conversations where we get to listen and hear for understanding. And we need to refuse to argue and defend. Quickly confess, quickly apologize, quickly forgive. Now, we won't resolve every difference of opinion. We might not even individually usher in an age of peace, but we can begin to address the wounds that we have been responsible for, the ones that we have inflicted on other people. And we might invite others along that path that leads toward peace. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. The wake of our lives ought to be the fragrance of peaceful togetherness. But there are certain things about being a peacemaker that makes it difficult, and sometimes we'd just rather not. For instance, not every step, not every instance is comfortable or instant. Confession can be humbling, and it must be humbling, and it must be sincere. Forgiveness must not be simple words, though it needs to be words, but it also needs to be a heart release, the hard work of letting go of a hurt and beginning to lay the foundation for a restored relationship. And peace seeks reconciliation, being right with one another, knowing that sometimes being right with one another does not mean we live together. but at least we're not against one another anymore. And we can release one another from the burden of the brokenness. Jesus invites us to be peacemakers. Now, as we think about Christmas, Christmas is ideally about Jesus. God come among us, a little baby, a teenager, a man on a cross, a man risen from a tomb, a man ascended, a man trying to live through us, longing to live through us as he's implanted his spirit in us because of faith. Jesus came to us for life. But this morning, I want you to know that Christmas can be for you. It can be all about you. It can be all about you embracing the Jesus of Christmas, taking into you Jesus' life. Maybe this is the Christmas that is for you. Maybe this is the one where you open your daily life to Jesus for the very first time and you allow Jesus to rescue you, that you might be right with him, that you might be able to begin that journey with him toward the life where you might be right with others and help them do the same. Or maybe this Christmas is the year that you open your life to Jesus' work of making you other than what you've been. Maybe you need to be a peacemaker, and that's what this Christmas is going to be for you. First in your own life, in your own relationships, and in those beyond that. But brothers and sisters, you need to own that first. I need to be right with Jesus. I need to be right with me. I need to be right with the ones I'm in relationship with, and then go beyond that. And so I ask you this morning, where are you in your journey with Jesus, Prince of Peace? In your sins, you already know that you don't know. Perhaps today, this morning, you might invite Jesus to rescue you. Perhaps you're still living under the weight of life. You know that your life is partly heavy because of broken relationships. Maybe you can fix that in this room this morning. And maybe you need to run home or to somebody else's home and write what's weighing heavily upon you. And maybe you, like so many, simply avoid people or certain people because it's just too difficult. This morning, I invite you to consider which of those decisions you might need to make. And I'm going to pray for us, and you need to do what you need to do. Perhaps you want to stand so that others can know and know to pray for you. Perhaps you want to take advantage of our altar this morning. Perhaps we need to speak. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're lost without you. We have no idea which direction we're headed. We know that we have broken your heart when we've broken relationships. We know that we have no answers without your wisdom. But this morning we want to cling to you, to turn to you, to long for you, Prince of Peace. Come among us. Stir our hearts. Call us out as we are. And lead us to something better. Peace with our brothers and sisters. Peace with ourselves. Peace with you. Lord, would you do these things in our lives this morning? We pray. Amen.